Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the Old Testament. I invite you to turn there in your Bible. The book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 17. We'll begin in verse 5. Let us go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we praise and exalt your name this morning. Father, we ask that you come by the power of your Spirit. Lord, plow up our hearts, open our minds. Lord, may your Spirit illuminate your truth, your word to us. Lord, we know that therein is good and life and joy and peace and all of the things you promise in your gospel. And so, Lord, we sit under your word this morning. And we ask, O God, by your Spirit, teach us today, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in the uninhabited salt land. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is Yahweh. He is like a tree planted by water and sends out its roots by the stream, and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind, to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. Like the partridge that gathers a brood that she did not hatch, so is he who gets rich, but not by justice. In the midst of his days, they will leave him, and at his end, he will be a fool. A glorious throne set on high from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be put to shame. Those who turn away from you shall be written in the earth, for they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water. This is the word of the Lord. Our second scripture comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. Mark, chapter 4 in the New Testament. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered around him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Others fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing the yielding, and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. When he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path. When the word is sown, when they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while then, When tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those that hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that are sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30 and 60-fold and 100-fold. This is the word of the Lord. Well, a few weeks, I guess it's been longer than that, I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, okay, it's about time to kind of check your heart. And he said, well, you're going to get a screening. You're going to get a scan. I think, let me get this right, a calcium score. So I got the scan. You know, they scan your heart. And when I got through this, I guess it might be, I sat down in the waiting room while the guy said, just hang on, I'll get it for you. So the technician leaves, and he comes back. And while I was sitting there, I was thinking, I wonder how the heart, it's not something I can check every day, you know. And I wonder how the heart's doing. How healthy is old Greg Anthony's heart? You know, is the plumbing clear, you know? Will I need a Roto-Rooter or whatever? And as I sat there, I just thought about my heart. And the heart is important. Of course, physically it's important. But we also have something, a spiritual heart. The Bible has a lot to say about the heart. And just like I went in to find out the condition of my physical heart, we as Christians need to recognize we need to always be checking our own hearts, our spiritual core. Where are we? What is the condition of our heart? The Scripture says this in Proverbs, keep your heart, guard and keep it, for from it flows the issues of life. Our heart condition also has bearing on the bearing of fruit in our lives. And that's really what the parable is about. The word and the condition of the hearts. I mean, you could almost call this, instead of the parable of the sower, it's the parable of the soils, which relates to the hearts of the hearers. What is the condition of the heart? The variable is the condition of the heart, not the word. The word goes forth and is broadcast the same. And so what is the heart? And so I had to ask my question, how's my heart and how's the fruit? And maybe you could ask the same question today. How's your heart and how's the fruit in your life? Now, what is fruit? It's important. Matter of fact, if you look in Scripture, you see that the biblical idea of fruit, some say, well, is that the fruit of the Spirit? That's the Spirit working in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Are these the fruits of a Christian? I think yes, I think that is part of it. There's also an aspect that fruit has to do with good works, good deeds, living a life of blessing, of goodness. Matter of fact, you know, when we ask our catechism, what is the purpose or chief end, purpose of man? Glorify God and enjoy Him forever. How do you glorify God? Well, Jesus spoke about how to glorify God. He said, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. There's something powerful about bearing fruit. And I ask myself, how am I doing with how fruity am I? How much fruit am I bearing? There's only two people that really know the condition of our hearts. Number one, it's ourselves, it's you. You know your heart. And the other is God. He sees our hearts. And that goes both ways, doesn't it? Sometimes He sees the intent of our hearts, and that's good. And sometimes He sees the intent of our heart and, help me, Lord, you know. Not so good. But the end game in many respects is to glorify God through a life of bearing fruit. And bearing fruit is sort of conditioned on the condition of our hearts. And so the parable we have before us talks about this. Four soils that relate to four hearts. Now, Jesus, when He got alone, His disciples came and they asked, why are you teaching parables? And he told them. And what is a parable? Parable is intended to hide the truth of those that don't want to know or that would rebel against it. It hides the truth. And then also, it reveals the truth to those that want to hear it and desire to seek after the truth. Jesus said, seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door would be opened. And it causes those that want to know the word to be able to understand it and see it. And those that don't, that aren't interested, It's just, it's words. That's sort of why Jesus said it like this. Let him that has ears to hear, hear. It's not just one thing to hear the sound pressure that hits our eardrums. Are we listening with our heart? Are we wanting to know? And there's a power in that. So there were four soils. We want to look at them briefly this morning. Four soils that compare to the heart. Matter of fact, Matthew and Luke call it the heart. They refer to these soils as the heart, in the heart of the hearer. First kind of soil, thrown out, hit the path. It was a path packed down hard. You might want to say that, I guess you could say sort of a hard heart. The first one is a hard heart, sort of unresponsive to the things of God, unresponsive to the truth of God. Immediately, Satan comes and steals the word. Immediately, it happens. The chief priests were like this, and the scribes. Several times in Scripture, what do you find? When they heard this, immediately they sought to kill him. Immediately they sought to arrest him, as soon as they heard what he had to say. These are like people that frankly don't care about listening to the Word of God. They don't understand because they don't want to understand, and they don't want to invest the time necessary to really understanding spiritual things. Immediately Satan comes and steals the Word. One commentator says, quote, these people pay no attention to sermons they hear. Even more probable, they are totally insensitive to any message about God or spiritual truth. And there's an interesting scripture about this. You know, somebody says, well, I don't know about this, about Jesus. I'm not sure. Jesus said it like this. He says, my teaching is not mine, but him who sent me. And he says this. He says in John, he says, if anyone is willing to do his will, then he'll know of my teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak of myself. A willingness and a willing heart is a prerequisite to understanding the gospel. And so the first heart, hard heart. Now, I probably nobody falls into that category. You're locked in and you're listening, and so you want to know the truth. So maybe that wouldn't fall. But you've seen that. That hard-hearted soul. Secondly, shallow heart, rocky ground. What was the problem? It had no root. It could not go deep because the rock kept it from going deep. And what does the scripture say? What did Jesus say? They had no root in themselves, and it says this, immediately received with joy. And then it goes on and in Mark's gospel, says, immediately fall away. Who is this like? Well, it's almost like, you remember in scripture, Palm Sunday, they came in, Hosanna, Hosanna. A week later, what were they shouting? Crucify. Immediately with joy, immediately they fall away. No root in themselves. Now, he gives an idea of some of the things that would cause it here. Jesus tells us, number one, tribulation. Brothers and sisters, when you come to Christ, as you probably already learned, the Christian life is never, there's no promise of joy and all the time, regardless of your circumstance. The promise is this, is that you will endure trials. They're going to happen. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul, and I'm sure Pastor Josh is probably going to preach on this sometime, or Andrew. Apostle Paul went to a place called Lystra, chapter 14 of Acts. And when he got there, he preached, and what did they do? The Jews stirred up the mob against him. They stoned him. They drug him out of the city, and they thought he was dead. Well, he wasn't dead. He got up, and after a while, he went back into the cities, and he told all the brethren there to encourage him. This is what he said. He said, through many tribulations, we must inherit the kingdom. And so what are these rocks? Well, tribulation, persecution because of the word. Persecution. Our country, what a blessing, where we aren't persecuted. But other nations are not like that. And frankly, our nation will become as the nations of the world unless we have a spiritual awakening in this land. I mean, you know, Pastor Josh was asking the children about ages. I was thinking about, by the way, I was born a year before this church started. Yeah. And so, you know, this is the youngest building in town, by the way. persecution. One of the jobs of the pastors in the world is to prepare their congregations for persecution. And I'm a little concerned in my brief life that I have watched a culture almost turn, maybe not 180, but about 90 degrees from a respect for God and His Word. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Now, I know it's cultural, and I know that, you know, these don't make a land, but I remember as a youngster driving down Hanging Moss Road, and you didn't see anybody that wasn't headed to church. I remember I cried one time in like the seventh grade when I saw somebody not at church. We didn't go for somewhere. I think we went down somewhere vacationing, and I thought everybody went to church. The unchurched, it's growing in our land. And you see people that want to live out their faith in their vocation, and the state has come against them. You know, these court cases about photographers, weddings, and all this. It wasn't like that 20, 30 years ago. And brothers and sisters, if the course continues this way, our children and grandchildren may face persecution for their faith in this country. That's why we need to be praying for God's a third great awakening. Anyway, a shallow heart, persecution, and fall away. Jesus said this about some leaders of that day. They were leaders. Listen, it says, nevertheless, many of the leaders believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the glory that comes from man rather than the glory that comes from God. A shallow heart. Thirdly, what about this thorny ground? Well, thorns that choke out. What are these thorns? Well, listen for us, doesn't it? Cares of this world. What are the cares of the world? Whatever the worries and the cares of the world is worrying about. What could that be? It's worrying about things that aren't of eternal value. Seeking meaning and purpose apart from God. Worries of the world. Number two, the deceitfulness of riches. Deceitfulness of riches. Yep, riches. Now, what about riches? Why are they deceitful? What tricks you about them? Well, one of the things, it's a lie when you think, or I think, that riches will absolutely guarantee happiness. That's a lie. You say, well, at least you'll have enough to be really sad, you know. No, there's nothing about riches that will ever, and yet so many times, they choke out spiritual fruit, the love of money. What else? What else about riches? Well, they never satisfy, and you think that the more you get, the more you won't want them, and that's not true. You remember that story, I guess there was a whole room full of millionaires. Some of them, the names, if I mentioned, you know who they were, multimillionaires, and the speaker was talking about these things, and he said, how many of y'all are rich? Nobody raised their hand. And he said, how many of y'all know somebody that's rich? And all hands went up everywhere. Because how much is enough, just a little more? But it tricks you. And you know how it tricks you? At the end of life, you realize, now what really matters is my heart. The deceitfulness of riches. The desire for other things is another thing that choke out the word. What chokes the word out in our lives? The desire for other things. And Jesus didn't say bad things here. He just said other things. Other things. What other things could choke out the word? Keep us from bearing spiritual fruit. Other things. I know, I'm preaching here. Sports. And I'm talking about the spectator kind, where I'm the spectator. Sports and hunting and social life and accruing a large social following and hobbies and excess yard work. That is not one that I struggle with. These things can... Listen, they're not bad, and they're all in their place, are awesome and good. There's nothing wrong with them. They're part of God's blessing, unless they encroach and choke out God's word so that we don't bear fruit. Not bad, but they choke out the word. David Garland in his commentary said, they believe that they must first get a good education, talking about those that are letting other things push out the word from their lives. They believe that they must first get a good education, then get a good job, first marry, first find a nice house in a nice neighborhood surrounded by nice people, first to have some nice children, first to furnish their home with nice things, and on and on and on. And as life ticks by, the thorns grow and grow and choke out the word. Didn't Jesus say it like this? Seek first the kingdom of God and that righteousness, and all the other things shall be added unto you. You know, I'm reminded of a scripture in the scripture, the rich young ruler. Remember the story there in Mark chapter 8, I believe, the rich young ruler. And the scripture talks about, if you look at all the Gospels, he was rich. That's one. He was young. Oh, two. And he had authority. And he came to Jesus. And what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, listed the second half of the table of the Ten Commandments. And he says, I've done since I was young. Boy, he's feeling good now. And Jesus says that Jesus loved him. Brothers and sisters, pastors and preachers that preached God's word do it out of love. And Jesus was honest and loving, and he loved him. And you know what he said to him? He said, oh, that's great. Just come on. No, he didn't say that. I mean, he wasn't already counting the tithing units going to be the biggest one in his group. Jesus said, go and sell all you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me. And the rich young ruler, it says, he went away sorrowful, for he had much wealth. Now, does that mean you got to give up? What was Jesus doing? A divided heart. The thorns of the love of riches would choke out his word. Lastly, what is the final one? We have the good heart, the good soil. The good soil, and that's, Luke says, an honest and good heart. A heart of patience. And we can say a broken and contrite heart God will not cast. Good soil. Let the word come in. You know, preaching is let me tell you guys, thank God tonight when you in your prayers that you have ministers that will stand in this pulpit and will preach this word, declaring God's truth to you and to me. God, we usually sit over there. What a blessing. Odulia and I watched a documentary. I'll close. Watched a documentary of Chernobyl. Remember back in 1986, 85, 86, there was this nuclear catastrophe in the Ukraine. Under the Soviet Ukraine, and Soviets tried to cover it up, but this documentary, it had one time, apparently the reactor had exploded, and just raw parts of the reactor were sitting on the roofs all around this structure. And they tried to get robots up there to push it off, you know, and the robots would get up there, and the radiation would fry the robots, so they wouldn't work. And so they had to get soldiers, Ukrainian soldiers, to go out on this roof, pick up deadly radioactive material and push it over into the sarcophagus, the where the reactor was. And they gave them instructions, and I remember, I don't know if it's exactly the way the movie was, but this is what I remember, is when they were waiting to go out on the roof and all these soldiers were standing there and they had their gear on, which was pitiful gear, by the way. And the man giving the instructions, he said, listen very carefully. You have 90 seconds to do your work and do exactly what you're told. Commit it to memory because your life depends upon it. And I started thinking about if I was there, you talk about, you know, loading up on, you know, my ADD medicine. I'd be paying attention to that, right? I started thinking about in my week, what 25 minutes in terms of the kingdom of God, of my spiritual health, of me bearing fruit, of me glorifying God, which is the reason I was created, what 25 minutes has God put, more than that, that I should be just like that, a matter of life and death? And I'm going to tell you, it's probably the 25 minutes that I will sit and hear the preaching of the word from this pulpit, or in my car, or at my desk. That's how important it is. And you know what the promise is? Hearts, good soil, open, willing, listening, wanting to know the truth, will produce fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Let me just close. When I was a new Christian, I used to listen to a guy who actually died, but he was one of the most, he shook up a lot of the Christian world, named Keith Green. Keith Green had a song that meant a lot to me then and means a lot more to me now when I quote the end, when you hear it. It was called Faith, and it went like this. My eyes are dry and my faith is old. My heart is hard. And my prayers are cold. And I know how I ought to be, Lord, alive to you and dead to me. What can be done with an old heart like mine? Soften it up with oil and wine. The oil is you, your spirit of love. Wash me anew with the wine of your blood. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Amen. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, this morning we stand before you, sinners saved by grace. Nothing in us, Lord, do we deserve, and yet your grace has been poured out without measure. Lord, would you plow up our hearts? Lord, renew in us, Lord, a desire and a thirst and a hunger to seek and knock, to know your word, and to let you have full reign, Lord of our lives. Lord, let nothing separate us from you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.